Almost live from a very cool corner in Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Ted Sampson and Christiana D. Now, push your earbuds in a little deeper. Here's Nate.
Hey there. Welcome back to another Friday episode of the Nate Darling Show. Friday. Hey, everybody.
Happy Easter. Happy Holy Good Friday.
It's a great Friday.
Happy
I hope you remembered to abstain from alcohol.
Happy Holy Days,
fast,
Batman.
And not eat meat.
Or bread.
If you're Catholic. Or if you're Jewish.
If you're a Jewish Catholic, hopefully you're very hungry right now.
A Jatholic. Are you a Jatholic? A Juthalic? Ooh, a Juthalic.
Juthalic?
Wait, what did we decide I was a Jew equivalent?
Jew equivalent.
Nice. I like it. I want to make a formal announcement. We didn't do it last show because we had Zach from the Donut Dash in here, so we were talking about that. Want to welcome on a somewhat permanent basis to the show, Becca Costello.
Yay, Becca!
A.K.A. Vegan Girlfriend.
Yeah.
Vegan Girlfriend in the house.
Yeah.
Girl power.
Bringing cruelty-free perspective to the... Oh, that sounds so boring. Anyway, hi.
Cruelty-free.
Glad to be here.
I roll cruelty.
Hooray.
Keeping Ted in line from a closer range. Coming up on the show today, how chickens are turning kids gay. A porn star goes to the great beyond... And the bathroom birther. Ooh. That's right. The bathroom birther.
Yeah,
It's not what you think.
which is good because it is prom season. So I always get a little worried.
Ooh, yeah. It's not a prom night dumpster baby.
Prom babies.
Those are the worst.
Prom night dumpster baby.
I don't get that.
What's going on?
I'm not a woman, so I don't know what it's like to be pregnant.
What?
It's true. Becca, I want you to know.
I am a woman and I don't know what it's like to be pregnant. So.
I'm a woman. I know what it's like to be pregnant. It's
not
awesome.
Do you think you would have noticed that you were pregnant?
Oh, yeah, you would.
I guess if you're in denial, enough
yeah,
denial.
If you're in denial, then I think you don't.
Well, I don't know. There's a whole show called I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant.
Right.
So
labor does just feel like you need to poop.
Mm.
But it's coming out the wrong hole.
No, it just feels like you need to poop. You're not really sure what's going on.
You're just full and you want to get it
it's
out.
It's just that's pressured. Because people talk about like feeling the need to push, and I didn't know what that was.
And now
I'm
you
like,
get it.
I have to
and
poop.
Now you do.
That's what that
is. Oh, there
you
go.
Discover muscles you never knew.
Well, I don't know what it's like to be pregnant, but I have delivered baby calves.
That's adorable. That will tie into the segment later.
I have.
Actually, it sounds gross and messy.
It is. It's very gross, very messy, and not as exciting as one would think. But I have done it on multiple occasions.
Did you eat it later?
You know, you don't keep track.
Sorry.
Probably, but
you don't keep track.
Business, not personal.
Once they go off to the slaughterhouse, they don't have a name anymore. It's true.
Oh, vegan girlfriend.
Mocking vegan girlfriend.
I'm not mocking her. I'm just saying you don't. If you sat around and did that, well, this is old Bessie. Mmm, she's tasty. That would be ridiculous.
Okay. I quit.
I'm sorry. So, yeah, we got all that coming up. I want to remind you before we get going on the show that if you would like to support the show, the best way to do it is if you're going to shop Amazon anyway, and there's a lot of things coming up to buy Amazon stuff for, go to NateDarlingShow.com and click the Shop Amazon tab or any Amazon banner you see on the website. It takes you right there. It's like an extra 2 seconds. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and it helps support the show. And if you're one of those people that likes to stick it to the man, it means Amazon gets less money for their stuff because they kick us a percent.
Oh. It's like supporting local businesses.
Yeah, it is supporting local business.
You're stealing. Oh, it's supporting us. And,
us. We're the local business.
Come on.
Unless you're listening somewhere else, in which case we're local because we're in your head.
We're a global
right
business.
Now. We are. Around the world, people
we're
download
universal.
The show and listen to us.
It's true. We're huge in England.
So we... I want to be huge in Australia, and I don't know why. I just do.
Maybe that Mark Webber reference from Wednesday's show will
I'll
get
have
picked
to,
up somehow.
I'll have to tag him. We'll tag Mark Webber.
Mark Webber's super cute.
Okay.
Which and means? By association, yes. Yeah, so, but he knows that, I'm sure.
He has a very defined jawline as someone who's 6 feet tall and weighs 140 pounds would.
160.
Whatever.
Down.
Yeah. Well,
25 pounds.
Well, after the Malaysia race, probably less because all of the sweating and anger that he had going on.
Sweating and anger.
Yeah. In Malaysia, it's really hot and humid and you sweat a lot. And his teammate passed him even though he was told not to.
So,
what do they call it? Was a what 21? It was a.
You say a wet 21?
No.
A forever 21?
No. Damn it.
I don't know.
God damn it. They've already made t-shirts for it. It's whatever the code that the team uses.
I don't know.
The So you're not. Don't worry about it. Never mind. We need to do our own Formula One season show at the end, and then I'll drop all this knowledge later.
Okay.
It's
fine.
I'm busy.
So let's. We got stories. Everybody's got stories this week. Let's start out with Christiana. You went to the movies to see Admission, which has it's gotten some very bad reviews from people.
Yeah.
One of my friends went to see it with his family, and he wrote on Facebook that don't go to see it. It's at best a rental. Now, you felt a little bit differently about it, so tell us about the movie. It's Paul Rudd and everybody's favorite person who's the funniest female ever, Tina Fey.
Oh.
That's true. It's Tina Fey and Lily Tomlin, who is legit old. Like, she's funny.
Oh, yeah. She's good.
She's an OG, an old
she's
granny.
She's a scene stealer, correctly identified as such. There's a cow birthing scene, so maybe you want to see it just for, like,
no.
home times.
Just to show how wrong it is?
Probably.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was good. I read the reviews that said that sort of the consensus among three reviews that I think I've skimmed was that it started off with a lot of promise and then kind of devolved into like just another blah 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 story. But it's not. I think they sold it a bit as a rom com. It's not. It's like it's funny, but it's more of a drama than a comedy.
Oh, drama.
Like so, a dramedy. Yeah.
So it's a comedy that's not funny.
Or
no,
a drama.
It's a drama
that's
funny.
Okay.
So. I thought it was good. I thought they had decent chemistry. I mean, I love Paul Rudd and Tina Fey, so I'm a little bit predisposed to like whatever they do anyway. But that was an interesting story. I actually would have... I think it would have been great as like a TV show because there definitely were some... What are you doing over there?
Playing.
You're playing Spin the Bottle. Stop it, you two.
he's like my cat.
I know. The cats aren't here.
I didn't
cats.
Even know.
I put them in the other room.
I just forgot about the cats. Oh, my God.
They're in the other room because there were five people in the living room, and I thought that would be a bad combination.
I was feeling lonely here. No, I thought it was a good... I thought it would have made a good TV show. They're interesting characters. There definitely was maybe some extra promise in the beginning that wasn't fully paid off, but it was a bit of a character study, not like super in depth. I thought it was good. You don't need to see it. No, you don't need to see it on the big screen because
right.
nothing blows up. But I don't feel like, you know, we saw a matinee. I feel like it was worth the $8 or whatever I spent. I liked it. It was good.
Here's my thought on Tina Fey. And I think Tina Fey is funny. I think she's very talented. I think Tina Fey is somebody who does really well on TV. It just, for whatever reason, doesn't translate to the big screen that well. And she's not the first person that's been the issue with. There are a lot of TV actresses and actors who are very good on TV. On the big screen, they just don't carry the charisma that's needed for that sort of movie.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, she's just had a series of movies that are just very mediocre, for lack of a better term. I mean, she's still, as far
Baby
as...
Baby Mama gets better on repeated viewing. Mean Girls is a fucking American treasure.
Oh, exactly, but she had a bit part in it. She wrote
True,
it, but she
good,
had a bit part
but,
in it. She didn't carry the movie. Part.
No. I liked him. I'd like to hear, I need like you guys to see Admission. Tell me what you think. I think you would like it. I think you guys would like it.
Okay. You're
well, like we'll wait 3 months. It'll come out on video. It'll be fine. Ted, you had a little bit of an automotive issue Saturday. Oh,
yes, I did. On route to a show at the Comedy Spot, no less. I just was driving down K Street, and it's the oddest thing. I'm driving down K Street, which is just a thoroughfare, kind of near Midtown for people who don't live around here. Whatever. Driving along, this dude in front of me kind of pulls to the right of the road, and then just makes a U-turn right in front of me.
Oh no!
Without really kind of noticing that I was coming, so I. Veered and ended up hitting him. Like our corners of our car kind of collided, so no
like
one was
your
hurt.
Front corner to his back corner.
No, both his front corner and my front corner, because he like turns in front of me. I'm using my hands so no one can see what I'm talking about, except for Christiana. But and then run up to the road. But like he kind of turned in front of me, so it was almost like an L or a V shape.
So basically, you thought he was pulling over to the right.
Yeah.
You started to go by him, and he pulled a U-ey right in front
exactly.
of you.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
You're more succinct with these things than I. But that's exactly what happened. And he was very nice. Actually, he was very nice. You know, as far as car accidents go, we were very civil, and like, you know, everything's okay. And we exchange our information, and now we're just doing the insurance thing. So, you know.
Is your car still drivable?
Car still drivable, and having it checked out later just to make sure everything's okay. But
where,
it's mostly cosmetic.
This is like K and what?
K and 23rd. There's no stop sign, no stoplight, no stop sign.
Oh, you were very close to the Comedy Spot then. You were
so close.
You were just like three and a half blocks away.
Yeah, I was just a little shaken up. I didn't feel very improv-y, so I appreciate you guys carrying the show for me.
No, that's cool. I actually did a stage dive of sorts. I didn't dive off the stage.
But he did like a tuck and roll, like through a seam.
I did. I think it was the most physical thing of the evening. But
yeah, it probably was.
Not that other people didn't do physical things.
I was a rhinestone, but that was just crouching down.
It's true. here's what I learned. Someone needs to dust that stage because I got up when I left the scene, which I sort of crawled out the other side. I went back and looked, and you could see the outline of me sliding in the dust. Oh. And I'm like, wow, someone needs to Swiffer that thing.
Oh, wow.
So Brian Krall, if you're listening, and I know you're not, go ahead and Swiffer stage right. Because it needs it.
You guys should make a deal. You listen to the top 10 podcasts and you listen to the Nate Darling show. No? Okay.
I don't know. how about this? Swiffer this. You got a month. Swiffer the stage, buddy. Come on. You've got interns. Just say Swiffer the stage, boy, and someone will.
That's true.
Or girl.
I love being called boy and girl.
Yeah. There's a lot of names to remember, honestly. I mean, you can't be expected to remember all of them.
I don't know anyone there anymore. Sorry. I don't know anyone.
I know the feeling, man. Becca, you had a weekend. You had a weekend.
Oh my god! Sorry, I heard about it. That's why I'm saying, oh my god.
I didn't hear any details.
I didn't hear about it. I'm excited to hear about it.
All I know is that I saw again on Facebook was that you were having a silent retreat and were saying nothing all weekend. So,
yes.
So tell us about that.
So I went to this retreat center that I have been to before for silent retreats, and ideally, what is supposed to happen is, you know, you check in Friday. And it's in the wetlands of Marin, and it's beautiful, and there's wildlife and hiking trails, and, you know, there's a meditation room, and everybody just basically shuts up for the whole weekend, and they cook you, like, delicious vegetarian food, and you just sit in silent meditation and walk in silent meditation, and that is it from Friday afternoon until Sunday evening. And I love that kind of stuff. I really am looking for insights, and I do well with silence, and it helps a lot. And so
is this all the place does, or is it a specific weekend event?
They have it a couple of times a year. It's run by an organization called the Brahma Kumaris that I actually don't know that much about, because every time I go there it's silent weekend and they can't tell me about what they do. But they're an organization out of India that teaches people meditation all over the world. And so they run all different kinds of retreats all the time, you know, like this retreat is about forgiveness, or this one's about being a strong woman, or whatever. But I've only been to the silent ones. So this time I went, and for whatever reason, everybody in the silent retreat did not want to be silent. There's about 10 people in this retreat, and there were two groups of women in this retreat of 10 people, both of whom were like long lost friends who like planned a girls' weekend at a silent retreat. You know, like someone even flew in from the East Coast and everything. And there were two groups that thought this would be a good idea, and then like me and like one other person that wanted to be quiet, you know? And so it was just all this stage whispering and cell phones and chit chat. And like, there's this part in the beginning of every day where they have a check-in, so that if like something's really wrong, like you got bit by a poisonous spider in the middle of the night or something, you can say like, oh, I am having an issue. I need to talk, you know,
I am dying.
But in general, you stay quiet, you know, and normally the check-in is, you know, the teacher will come in and say, does anybody have any, how's everybody doing? And everyone gives a thumbs up and it's cool. And everybody would just raise their hand and be like, well, the food was delicious, and I had this thought, and let me get out my notebook and talk about what, you know. And they would talk through the whole morning meditation till the tea break, you know, and there's no meditation, just chit chat.
And they were like, you're doing it wrong.
And then on the second day, everybody asked, can we just leave early because we have long drives? So they talked through the whole morning meditation. There was lunch, and then everybody but me voted to just go home and not do the afternoon meditation. And I had been like,
did you have to pay for this? Can you get a refund if people talk?
$200. And you know, and so
sucky.
At the end, you know, I guess it showed on my face when everybody voted to leave early. Like I did not say anything the whole time. That's the thing. You're silent. So I didn't feel like I could tell these people like, hey, shut the fuck up. You know, I just use the, and I don't swear very much.
In the meantime, nobody actually said this.
Take a little time to be quiet.
Oh, ripping out the new sounds.
Nobody did. And so at the end, I guess it showed on my face when, you know, everyone sort of voted like, yeah, let's just go home now. And and I guess, I don't know, I must have done some kind of like epic eye roll that I'd been saving up for like 3 days, right? Because the teacher looked at me and she was like, you're welcome to stay as long as you can walk the grounds. And I was just kind of like, gave her this like really
you're
rigid.
You're like, God damn, yeah, right, I can.
Right? I know, I gave her this like really rigid thumbs up, like, okay, you know? So basically, I just felt like a big jerk my whole trip because I kept thinking like, if I hate everyone on my silent retreat, I'm doing it wrong, right? Aww. And so I was just like struggling with myself in meditation, like stay out of judgment. You're here to learn something. Like there's a reason why you're here. Everything has meaning. And then I was
anger. Like seething at people all the time.
Here's the lesson for you. People are jerks.
They really are.
Oh, man. So that was my... I don't mean to dominate the show, but okay. I guess I need to vent because I was tight-lipped for the whole entire weekend. And then I got home and Tim was like, how was your retreat, honey? Are you all enlightened? And I was like...
that normally, like this, that whole event is normally something that I'd be like, you crazy hippie. But it sounds super appealing to me right now because I've been in a very noisy head place lately. So now, like, I want to know all about it. But I probably would have just started hitting people or something. Like, if I'd gone and been like, look, I want to try the silent thing. If you're talking, can't handle it.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy.
And did you do flashcards? Because you hear the whiteboard and be like, you're rude.
I know. I should have been. Mostly, I just kept going for big, long walks by myself, which were beautiful. The wetlands was beautiful. I saw all kinds of neat animals. But I kept thinking, like, I'm on retreat from my retreat, you know?
Yeah, I could not be paying $200 and just be walking in the woods for free.
Right. Like, if I want to sit in a room and listen to strangers small talk, like, I could just go to Starbucks, yeah. You know? Like, I don't need to pay $200 and drive to Marin, you know?
What a ripoff.
Totally.
Yeah, here's what would happen if... This is exactly what you'd hear in my head if I were at a silent retreat all weekend. This would just be playing in my head all weekend long. As I'm watching people walk around and do that, I'd be like, because again, I'm easily distracted, as we discussed before. Wow.
I'd probably go a little nutcase by the end too.
Honestly, if I would have dropped $200 for a weekend and people to be silent and people were talking, I would have gotten up in front of them and yelled, "Hey, assholes, shut the fuck up!"
Yeah. Oh.
Now go find your inner peace.
I would have killed the Zen or the whatever.
Yeah.
It just kills me. Like, in the meditation room they were talking. Like, not everywhere, but in there specifically. Why are you at a meditation retreat if you don't even meditate? It's ridiculous.
Don't know. But then I felt like a jerk at the end, right? Because at the end, when you officially come out of silence, there's a ceremony, which is kind of a laugh because everybody had been talking the whole time. But at the end, like, all the people that had been, like, chit-chatting, they were all talking about the revelations that they'd had. You know, like, it was amazing. I didn't touch my phone for 3 days. Or, like, you know, I didn't have caffeine for 2 days. And they were saying, like, I feel like we were all family. And this was so good. And then I felt like a jerk, right? Because all of them were like, I had these amazing epiphanies. And I was just like, this sucks. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Right? So I'm the one who was doing it wrong, right? Because everyone else had a great time.
Yeah, me and they're talking about their awesomeness. And you're like, yeah, no, wasn't awesome at all. It sucked.
Right. So I feel like I failed. So I need to meditate on that, too. And, okay. Lighten up with the
What's
Benny
this
Hill
place
music.
Called? Can you share it with the? Or do
I don't know
like
if I should
that?
Now that I like tore it apart. But the first time I went, I had an amazing time. But it's called the name makes Ted laugh. It's called Anu Booty.
Nah, booty.
which means to experience in like Sanskrit or Hindu or something like that.
A new booty.
That sounds like a yoga retreat or something.
Yeah, my story. I also had an automotive story. Not quite as it was actually more harrowing than Ted's, but no damage. I was driving I was going out to meet somebody for lunch at the Flaming Grill, which is out on El Camino here in Sacramento.
Is that where they serve like lion and like crazy meats?
They have all sorts of meats. They do not have lion, but they have a lot of things.
But they have.
I have no idea if they've had lion. I've never seen lion on the menu. So I'm on my way out there and I'm out on 160. It's a 2-lane highway. Speed limit 65. And I see up ahead of me about 150, 200 feet in front of me, I see a recycling dump truck. And I see like a mattress up on top of it and a bunch of other stuff. And I see it bouncing and I'm like, that looks weird to me. So I'm about 150 feet behind me. It's in the right lane. I'm in the left lane. And there's two cars between me and it. And as you're headed out that way, there's a point where the highway goes underneath an overpass just before the Arden Way exit. As it goes under the overpass, I see a mattress, a box spring, a trash can, various other things, and a bicycle frame come flying out of this dump truck.
Oh my goodness.
At 65 miles an hour.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
that's a little scary.
So I jam on my brakes, as do the two people in front of me, and then the swerving begins.
Oh, that's never good.
Nothing hit any cars that I'm aware of, that nobody seemed to get hit by anything. But I jammed on my, their BMW in front of me did a really nice job because they had a lot less time than I did. So the first thing I swerved around was a box spring.
Wow.
And then there was a mattress. And then I watched a rubber trash can bounce in front of me. And there were a few other things. And then I remember going by, I look out the left side, and I see a bicycle frame with no tires on it, just sitting upright as though someone had placed it on the freeway.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
Freaky.
And of course, my heart rate doubles at least. And I look over, and it's a dump truck. It's got like a magnetic sign on the side. And then I see the driver. He stopped on the off ramp, and he looks over, and he's got the dumbest look on his face. And I know this guy put that mattress on top because he thought, this is going to hold the load down.
Oh, no.
Because he's a dumb guy. Oh. I don't know how they cleaned it up. And his next thing has got to be like, how are we going to clean this up? Because it's a pretty busy road. It's like noon on a weekday. This is a pretty fair amount of traffic. That's call the cops out sort of thing, because there's no way you're getting a mattress, a box spring, a trash can, and a bicycle frame off the road. Where it's 65 miles an hour without that. And it's all at the dip. So it's where the road dips down a little bit and then comes back up.
Oh,
it was crazy.
No, wow.
It was absolutely crazy.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's one of the most ridiculous things I've had happen while driving a car. And I've seen some pretty ridiculous things around Sacramento. You know, the guys with the tiny pickups with the pallets stacked about 50 high in the back, tied down by one old rope that's like 40 years old and frayed. But yeah, it was absolutely nuts.
Wow,
so.
I'm glad you made it out.
Fancy driving, yeah.
Yeah, nice one.
There's a lot of swerving, a lot of defensive driving. So pay attention on the roads, kids, because you never know when a box spring's going to come at you.
Or an idiot making a U-turn in front of you.
Yeah, either way. I've had that happen too, by the way, in Midtown Sacramento. I've had that happen multiple times.
I don't know. I was like, was this my fault somehow? I can't, but yeah.
I don't know. It was. You didn't pay attention.
It was?
You were thinking comedy.
The insurance companies will decide.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're going to be okay.
I think so too.
Do you know Bill Gates?
The guy
from Windows, from up there in Seattle.
Microsoft.
Yeah.
The official name of the company.
He wants geeks to build a better condom.
Ooh.
Oh.
He's putting the call out to investors, but he's not looking for inventors. He's not looking for software or the latest high-tech gadget.
Hardware.
He is in search of a better condom. On its Grand Challenge website, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is offering $100,000 startup grant to the person who designs the next generation condom that significantly preserves or enhances pleasure and promotes regular use.
Oh. Did this come out before or after? I thought I heard something about a study that came out that said that the decrease in sensation was kind of bogus, and that I don't know how they measure this, but that it's not like you don't take as big a hit to feeling as
you
guys
do,
try to whine.
You know who commissioned that study? Chicks. It may sound like a setup for a joke, but the goal is deadly serious. Researchers call condoms one of the best ways to stop the spread of HIV. And getting people to use them, that's another story. The foundation wants to see something that will lead men and women outside of a committed relationship to stop and think twice before having unprotected sex. The startup grant could lead to $1 million in further funding. Male condoms are cheap, easy to manufacture, easy to distribute, and available globally, including in resource-poor settings, though numerous well-developed distribution channels.
Well-developed.
Nevertheless, many people are reluctant to use them because they complain that prophylactics interfere with pleasure and intimacy. This creates a trade-off that many men find unacceptable. The other thing that keeps them from being used a lot is religion. So I don't want to leave that out. So if you could make a religion-friendly condom, that would be good too.
What if they could invent something that actually felt better than nothing?
That's
I don't know
idea.
That's
ribbed for her pleasure.
Well, yeah.
No. No, but I mean, I don't know. It would probably be pretty expensive and high tech, but you know.
Hey, you might be onto something, like a something that, yeah, like replicate the feeling of a I don't know how to talk about this on the radio.
Well, I mean, it's a podcast. We have an explicit tag. It's fine.
I'm just thinking out loud. But I'm not sure if I need to go where I'm thinking. I was just like, you know, they have those. There's like male. Now they're, you know, there's like male toy sex toys that are supposed to replicate the feeling of a vagina. So I don't know if you can make a condom do that or not. I don't think it works. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be exactly the same, but I mean, honestly, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
It's so worth it to not to know that, one, you're not going to get a disease. Two, you're probably not going to get anybody pregnant.
Right.
And three.
You know what? Yeah, because that does make condoms feel better. Mm-hmm. Having had a child. So they're fine. They're awesome.
And it makes cleanup a snap.
It does.
You just snap it right off. Anyway. So that's if you got an idea for a new condom, one of the things is if you got a new shape. And I always thought penis shaped was probably the best.
It seems smart. Yeah.
This one's shaped like a store.
A store.
And, you know, flexible to sort of morph with the penis. If you got a curve to the left, a curve to the right, a curve up, whatever you have, it should fit. So I guess that, I mean, maybe a tailored condom?
Yeah, tailored condom.
A Lord and tailored condom?
Yeah, you know.
Very expensive one.
Like a shrink wrap kind of.
Because it all, I don't, how would it, how is it not?
How's it not what?
Not fit well now?
I don't know. There's a difference. Well, no, there is a difference between brands. And if you have a brand that doesn't fit quite right, because some of them are just a little different around like the tip and in different places. And some are just designed a little bit differently. I mean, I have some that I prefer. And I know, like, many moons ago on this podcast, I discussed the fact that they discontinued making the kind that I liked.
Oh, boo.
Which was awful for a short period of time. And then I was like, oh, okay, well, this will be fine. You figure it out. You move on with your day.
That happened to Elaine on Seinfeld, didn't it?
They
discontinued her favorite kind of birth control. Yeah. Yeah. She, like, bought up a huge store. Did you buy, like, cases?
No. What happened was... You know, when you're in a relationship and you're in the early stages of a relationship, you don't buy the big box of condoms. You buy the small box of condoms.
You don't want to jinx it.
Because you don't want to be presumptuous.
Yeah, because then if it doesn't work out, you can't have that leftover box of condoms with the new lady. You know, like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
I guess so. Well, I don't know. I mean, I had a, I thought was weird, like a, you know, first time encounter with a boyfriend. And I was like,
encounter?
Did you... Yeah. Okay. And I was like, did you bring something? He's like, I don't want to be presumptuous. I'm like, that's stupid. Why don't you travel prepared? Because I don't know.
Yeah.
Why.
You're just like, oh,
everybody
wait,
should be
one.
Prepared at all times.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Well, I understand that. I but this is the conundrum when you're a guy. If you bring a condom, you run the risk of someone thinking that you're presumptuous about it. I think the best
and
thing.
If you're a girl, you're a slut.
No. If you're, I think you should have them at home. Have them at home. If you're if you're a woman, have a small package of condoms at home.
Or a big, whatever
you want.
You do you, ladies.
Get the regular, get the Magnum, whatever you like. Get an assortment. It doesn't matter. But have some on hand. That way you don't have that whole thing in terms of, well, I'd really like to have sex, but you didn't bring one because you thought it would be presumptuous. And then we don't. It's just really weird.
I think everybody should have condoms at all times.
Everyone should.
At all times, like at Starbucks, yeah. You should be like that the thing that the people want to have like a gun with you at all times. You should have a love glove at all times.
So wait, we derailed Nate from his story about whether or not you bought a case.
Yeah. Oh, when you're early on in a relationship and you are sexually active, if you buy the big box of condoms. The sometimes what you get back is, oh, so you're expecting to have sex that much, are you? As opposed to like, oh, okay.
It's never came up before.
It's like a, I don't know. It's things that guys go through in their mind. You don't want the Costco size box of condoms is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, I guess not.
They do expire too.
Yeah, that's the risk.
Yes.
There's nothing worse. And keep checking, by the way, because you don't want to pull it. You don't want the moment to get there and you pull it out and it's like, oh, June 2011. Damn it.
It'll probably work.
It'll probably work.
No. Just kidding. Yeah. Don't do that. Be safe. Safety first.
Don't do that. So, Bill Gates offering plenty of money for condoms. Now, the Pope, you know the new Pope.
Speaking of condoms.
Pope
Jorge.
Francis.
Pope Francis. He's known for his informal style. That's charmed the masses, but it doesn't work well on the phone. According to a story in the Daily Mail, the pontiff rang a Vatican receptionist directly. That's not normally how they do it. The disbelieving man thought the call was a prank and said, oh, yes, and I'm Napoleon. But Francis has the patience of a saint. Of course he does. He convinced the man he was the real deal. The Pope wanted to be connected with Adolfo Nicholas, the superior general of the old Jesuit order. He told the disbeliever, I really am Pope Francis. Honest. No, he said, he said, do not worry, Andreas. Just connect me with the Father General. I would like to thank him for the charming letter. The receptionist then realized his error because...
Why did that make him feel like, oh, you said charming. Like a,
exactly.
Like a magic Pope.
Yeah, it's a magic Pope thing. Magic Pope. Why not?
The back of his mind is that Kate, you know, hospital...
Oh, yeah.
Queen prank thing.
Could be.
I need a phone system where you can see who's calling you from within your network.
Pope caller
He's
ID?
He's in the house. He's in the house. The call coming from inside.
Oh, it's
the
me.
House.
That's made of Italian. He's not Italian. Never mind.
Just have his
he
own.
He is actually a little bit Italian.
A little Italian? Okay.
Just, he has a hint. A hint of
his
Italian.
His parents are Italian. So he's like Italian Argentinian.
Oh, no wonder. Okay.
Oh, just like the Argentinian Nazis from after World War II?
Oh, he's a Nazi?
What? No, he's not a Nazi. I'm
the
just saying.
The last pope was a Nazi.
Yeah, right.
You can't have two Nazi popes
in a row.
We did
that already.
It's been done.
It's true. So the pope kind of got called out. Now, speaking of getting...
Happy Easter, Pope.
Yeah, nice job, Pope.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, happy Easter.
There's one thing about not standing on ceremony. There's another thing about doing things so that you don't screw with people.
It's like that scene in The American President where he tries to order flowers. Anybody? Aaron Sorkin fan?
No.
Good movie. The same thing happened, but it was fictional, so it's really, I mean, who cares?
Honestly, if I were him, because this is how my mind works, I would just start screwing with people for the fun of it. Just, hi, this is the Pope.
I'd like to order 1,000 pizzas.
Yeah, send a pizza over. Yeah, right, you're the Pope. I'm Napoleon. Why Napoleon? I mean, of all people. Jesus. I mean,
does anyone want a pizza? I'm
yes.
super hungry now.
That sounds a good idea.
Mm.
If anyone's hearing this, send us a pizza. Wait, damn it.
I know, it'll be like 2 days
damn
now.
We need a time travel pizza delivery service. Mm. If a pizza arrives, we know it exists.
So,
Okay.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Joe Rogan.
Knock on the door right now, we'd freak the fuck out.
It would. Joe Rogan is the voice of the UFC. He's also a stand-up comedian.
So what do you think about that?
Hold on. Pause that a minute. It's actually going to work once for me. Mm. So... he's the voice of the UFC. He's taking a stand on the transgendered MMA fighter Fallon Fox, saying there's no effing way she'd be allowed to get into the ring with a natural woman. He unloaded on Fox during his podcast, The Joe Rogan Experience. She calls herself a woman, but I tend to disagree. So let's take a listen to what Joe Rogan has to say about the transgendered MMA fighter.
Any that's yes. trying to fight in the MMA.
I was going to bring that up. There's she calls herself a woman, but I tend to disagree. And she used to be a man, but now she's a transgender, which is an official term that means you've gone through it, right?
Yeah,
and she wants to be able to fight women in MMA. I say no fucking way. I say if you had a dick at one point in time, you also have all the bone structure that comes with having a dick. You have bigger hands. You have bigger shoulder joints. You're a fucking man. And that's her right there. That's a man. Okay? You can't have... I don't care if you don't have a dick anymore.
Yeah, that looks like a guy's carriage there, right?
Yeah, you can't fight women. That's fucking crazy. I don't know why she thinks that she's going to be able to do that. If you want to be a woman in the bedroom and, you know, you want to play house and all that other shit and, you know, you feel like you have your body is really a woman's body trapped inside a man's frame and so you got an operation, that's all good in the hood. But what you can't fight chicks. Get the fuck out of here. You're out of your mind.
So, Joe Rogan has a distinct opinion about this. Let's start with Becca. You seem to be puzzled by this whole thing. What do you think? Because this person has had the operation, but it still very much has the frame and most of the strength of a man, which is different than the frame and strength of a woman who is the same size. What do you think?
Well, I don't know how UFC works, but you know, in boxing, don't they match you up by size and weight and your abilities? Like, is there such a thing in women's UFC fighting? Can this person...
There are weight classes, yes. But if you have a man and a woman who are the same size, the man tends to be stronger.
I feel like there's so many things that I don't know because I also know, you know, to do this, you go through some hormone therapy, and does that end up affecting some of your upper body strength. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it? There's so much I don't know, but I do feel like, I don't know, at the risk of getting all, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Wait, hang on. Podcast. It's okay. Coming around. You know, we're kind of moving into eventually, I think, like a post-gender world, and and things like this are going to start coming up with more and more frequency. And I think it's ultimately going to have to be human versus human based on their abilities. But she might be the first of her kind and in kind of a weird spot right now.
Well, it's not based on ability. It's always based upon size. It's weight classes. So if this person weighs 145 pounds, you're in the 145 pound weight class. Like Ronda Rousey, who's the champion in UFC, fights at 135 pounds. Well, she's had this big verbal war of words with this other woman who tested positive for like testosterone a couple of years ago. This other woman is 145 pounds, and Ronda has said, "Come down to 135, I'll fight you." And the other one's like, "No, you come up to 145, and then we'll fight."
Can they meet at 140 and just fight them?
Well, it's a different weight. It's a different weight class.
Oh,
so that basically that's the whole thing. So it's based on weight class, and I don't know. It's a tough thing. I would tend to sort of fall on in the same camp as Joe Rogan. I wouldn't put it exactly the same way he did. But his basic point is, I have no problem with what you do, but you shouldn't be fighting women. Because
so can she fight men?
I don't see any reason why not. But that's not the issue.
It's like that. Was it Caster Semenya? I forget her name. She was accused of being a man. South African runner from African.
Oh yeah,
that happens.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And they like forced her to go through. You know, it was like, you look too much like a dude and you run too much faster, so you must be a dude. You must have a chromosomal abnormality, and I think she did.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, shit. You know, well, that's not really her fault.
Right, but that's far different from being born a man.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, transgenderism isn't just I feel like being the other gender today. It's a, you know, it's a diagnosable, it's a thing.
Sure. These
people are not, she doesn't feel she's a man, regardless of what she was born with.
Right.
She's not a man.
Right.
So she's, whether or not, I don't know if she's undergone hormone therapy.
I'm sure.
Pre or post.
To a point.
Full transition.
But on the other side, Chaz Bono is not going to be as strong as a man who was born a man who's the same size.
Probably not, but
exactly.
No, I think it does depend on the hormone levels and you match. And I mean, you do tend to, just look at people who take like steroid, you know, for steroid purposes,
right.
They take testosterone or something, they start to stronger jawline,
mm-hmm.
more defined muscles and stuff. So who knows?
Giant lady parts down below. I've seen the pictures.
Remember China used to, in WWF, used to fight men.
Well, yeah, but that's sports entertainment. That's a little different.
What do you mean?
So what do you, Ted, what do you think? Do you think she should be allowed to fight women, or do you think?
I'm conflicted about this one.
Exactly.
When I used to play Street Fighter 2, I could always beat Zangief with Chun Li, and she's a much, like, she's a small woman, but I don't know if that reflects into real life fighting. But I don't know. Is there any women who want to fight her?
You know, I would imagine that at some point, some really ballsy chick will. No, mm-hmm. No pun intended.
Right.
Because, I mean, the women who do MMA are badasses.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, different, small and big, you can, you know, different styles of fighting can work against each other if you're small versus big. You just adapt your style, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, the question is it an inherent advantage that shouldn't be there? So it's one of those things. I just thought it was an interesting point of conversation.
It is interesting.
And especially, you know, Joe Rogan is the announcer for UFC. So he's fully involved with that and the whole thing. But does he put it in the most politically correct way? No.
Or insensitive way.
But I do see his point, and I do tend to sort of fall in that same sort of thing.
Well, I wonder how much she weighs now, and is there anyone in her weight class who's a woman?
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Okay.
But, I mean, she's not in UFC. She's doing some other mixed martial art lower-level thing. So
okay.
she is fighting women, but is doing quite well at it.
Well, plus,
shockingly enough,
MMA is not the same as like boxing. I mean, if this was
it
boxing, it'd be one thing. But this is, yeah, it's just, I don't know, different style of fighting. So I hope maybe she'll find someone to fight her.
It's many different styles of fighting. There's jiu-jitsu. That's the whole mixed part of
right.
the mixed martial arts.
Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye on that a little bit.
Things are hard. Binary, gender, organized institutions aren't really prepared to deal with.
I was hoping to solve it on the podcast.
Gray area.
We can get a Nobel Prize. We should get one for our podcast, I think.
Speaking of no winners, the voice of Elmo is being sued over meth-fueled sex parties.
No. What? Again? Elmo?
Yeah. Well, it's more still than again. The original accuser, Sheldon Stevens, has now officially sued Kevin Clash, alleging the former Sesame Street puppeteer lured him into a sexual relationship when he was underage.
Oh, Jesus.
Stevens, who has originally recanted his claims of sex abuse, only to recant his recant amid reports that Clash had paid him off, says that Clash had Stevens chauffeured to his New York apartment for sex starting when Stevens was 16. While there, Stevens says Clash smoked crystal meth and the chauffeur masturbated while he watched the pair have sex. TMZ explains that after Stevens recanted his recant, Clash never paid him the settlement money they originally agreed upon. Well, duh. And thus the lawsuit was filed. Three more accusers stepped forward after Stevens, and earlier this month, Clash sought to dismiss those three lawsuits because he says the statute of limitations ran out. I don't know if that's the best way to sort of fight that.
If you have a technical basis to fight something, you're always going to lay that out first.
Sure, that's going to be your first thing, but that you let your lawyer do that.
Is there a statute of limitations on that kind of a sexual abuse?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, that's a problem in a lot of jurisdictions. Yes.
Yeah, it's like
there is.
Yeah, it's like 10 most places is like 10 years.
Yeah.
Something like
There's
that.
There's usually a statute on
That sucks.
Lots of stuff.
I thought sexual abuse was an exception for some reason.
Nope.
Because if you're Not a little
yet.
Kid and you
There that is something that's like being increasingly discussed in many jurisdictions.
Yeah,
so wait, if you're like 6 years old, you're abused, and then you don't remember it happened until you're 25 years old, is that still not statute?
It depends on the jurisdiction.
Yeah, it
in
does.
In some bad jurisdictions, yes, but in other ones, no, there is, you know, they do
okay,
have allowances. So.
That sucks.
That was one of the things that came up in the HBO documentary about the priests who molested kids, right. Was that the people who were bringing these charges and claims against this priest who had molested these deaf kids at this school, was the statute of limitations ran out, so they couldn't really do anything.
Yeah, it's a big problem. Our laws haven't necessarily caught up with a lot of stuff.
There's things to fight about.
A lot of stuff.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's unfortunate because everybody assumes that the puppet is the person who runs the puppet. And that's not at all true. I mean, it's a dude in showbiz, and like any other dude in showbiz or anything else, especially in showbiz, though, because you can do whatever. You have a lot more leeway to do weird things if you work in showbiz than you do if you're, I don't know, let's say a barista. Although, you know, they got some weird piercings. I don't know.
But I saw the documentary with Elmo. I mean, he seemed like such a nice guy.
I know. I think that's the thing that makes it so sad. Like, I had no idea who was behind Elmo. And if I'd never seen that movie, I'd be like, oh, okay, whatever. That guy's gotten into some scandal. But you see that movie and you're like, Elmo is magic and Kevin Clash is amazing. And when he was a little kid, he made his first puppet out of his dad's coat. And you're like, you know, he just seems like this American treasure of a person. And this now is, it's really upsetting.
This is Penn State for those of us who don't really follow football like that.
Like
it's a shattering of a slightly mythical feature.
Yeah.
I never loved Elmo. Elmo was not, he was like past my.
Yeah.
Me too.
I was Team Grover.
I didn't love Elmo until I saw that movie, and then I was like, wow, why haven't I appreciated Elmo?
Why did you make me love you?
Oh, yeah. Elmo, like, helped kids feel better during the floods. And
Oh, yeah,
and
during Hurricane Sandy.
A lot of good stuff.
Yeah, Elmo's cool. He
well, it's not Elmo. We love Elmo. It's just the dude behind him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's completely different. And what's weird is we thought he was the least scary-looking black man ever, but it turns out he, in fact, is scary.
Elmo?
No, Kevin Clash.
Oh, sorry.
Not Elmo.
Are there other black men who look? I'm not really sure what to do with that.
Let it lie, Christian.
Yeah, just let it
lie.
Go.
I'll move on.
Yeah, it's fine.
Next story.
Think Carlton from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I'm just going to
Carlton dance. Oh, Ted's doing the Carlton dance.
Students at a high school in San Bernardino County are being told they must wear gender-specific attire to prom and for yearbook photos.
Get off
this shit already.
And that has prompted
people wear what they want.
The ACLU to demand school districts step in to end discrimination against students by teachers and administrators.
Can you wear a kilt to prom?
Well, you know what? Honestly, I'd say having to chaperone dances with high school kids, if everybody should have to wear just like a full body suit.
No.
Some of the stuff,
full body
you
condom.
Know, for many reasons, just fashion choices or put on some more clothes. You're only 15.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Let's take a listen to the news report from KNBC.
Is telling us tonight that they're being bullied because they're gay. They also say they're scared because the bullies are their own teachers and school staff. NBC4's Jane Yamamoto talked to those students tonight. Jane?
Well, Chuck, we are in front of Viviana's, a historic site in Los Angeles, and this will be the location for the school's prom next month. But the school's dress code issue is one of the reasons the ACLU stepped in, sending this 11-page demand letter to the Hesperia Unified School District today.
If I had my freedom, I'd probably go down there wearing a dress.
Dressing up for prom is just one of the issues 18-year-old Kyle Boda and several other students at his school in Hesperia are now dealing with.
We are here because of the discrimination.
Discrimination this 18-year-old senior at Sultana High can't avoid from students and even his teachers.
Faculty members take part in using terms like, that's so gay, and using gay as an insult.
The insults have turned scary for Boda.
A lot of hate that's going on. And what makes it scary is everybody thinks that it's okay.
He says the personal attacks have gotten worse in the past 2 years.
A lot of it is towards many of the LGBTQ students.
And now they may not be able to attend prom if they don't conform to a dress code. Girls in dresses, boys in tuxedos.
Myself personally would like to wear a tuxedo and heels to prom.
The Gay Straight Alliance Club turned to the ACLU, or American Civil Liberties Union of Southern California, for help.
California law makes it crystal clear that schools cannot discriminate against LGBTQ students based on sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression.
And the interim superintendent for Hesperia Unified School District, he issued a written statement today. Basically, he says that they are reviewing all of their policies for a safe... ACLU says they have...
All right, so we're getting some internet jumping, but basically that's the thing. Yeah. They want sort of a dress code for prom, and that's got people up in arms.
I wouldn't call it bullying. It's just plain old fashioned discrimination.
It sounds like the other things that's happening there, bullying. This is
yeah. Sounds like it's just part of a bad culture.
But well, they're not going to win though.
Well, you know what? They probably will.
In California, they might.
The question is, will they win before prom? It's not will they win, it's when will they win.
Oh, that's not what I meant. I guess I meant the other people won't win. Like, they're not going to be able to discriminate mm-hmm. for much longer.
Yeah, and I don't know that it's more of an old-fashioned viewpoint as opposed to, I don't know these people. I don't know their motivation. I don't know whatever.
Interior California is a different place.
Sure. It sounds just very old-fashioned to me. It sounds like something that would be very normal 20 or 25 years ago, that would be a pretty standard. Now, I don't know that teachers saying that's so gay is something that would have ever happened. But in terms of expectations of a dress code, now, I went to a Catholic school, so we all had a dress code. We had to wear this, this, and this, and there were no exceptions to it. So a dress code doesn't strike me as being all that terrible.
You went to private school, right?
I did.
Yeah, this is public school, isn't it?
No, no, no. I understand.
Okay.
I'm just pointing out my experience mm-hmm. and where everything was from. But again, the public high school, I mean, there wasn't any, I don't think there was any specific banning of you can't show up dressed like X, Y, or Z, but you would have gotten the hairy eyeball if you did.
We have we somewhat have to address this with the high school group that I work with because mm-hmm. We have a strict dress code, like a professional dress code that has a whole lot of rules about, you know, dress for the young men and dress for the young ladies. And there has been more discussion in the past few years about how do we, you know, we don't prevent, like, if a young lady wants to adhere to the guy dress code, then go for it. We haven't really had a situation yet where we've had a guy, I think, identify and want to wear the women's side of it, but. You know, we roll with it and try to figure out how to make it work because all we want is the kids to participate, especially the ones who are probably dealing with a fair amount of marginalization
yeah.
somewhere else. Well, but there's a way to make it work without wasting your school district resources defending against a probably successful ACLU.
And
ACLU
it's also a lot more accepted for women to wear men's clothes and vice versa.
That's true.
I mean, completely. I mean... Women are in the men's section buying clothes all the time, for some for themselves, some for their guy or whatever.
Well, no one bats an eye. We're wearing pants right now, so we're basically wearing like the men's. It's not abnormal to wear.
It's true.
You know,
women could kiss and then women can do anything they want. You guys are so lucky.
Sure, there was a girl fight over at, over at the light rail a couple nights ago.
See?
Five girls got into a huge fight. Lots of arrests. It's great.
Well, women can get into fights and get arrested.
Yeah, we're just awesome. Like men.
You've come a long way, baby.
Yeah,
you can't fight.
You can have all the terrible things that you want. So yeah, obviously it would be very different. I mean, if it would be really, I guess, awkward if a dude showed up in a Hillary Clinton pantsuit, but. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that's, you're dealing with, you know, trans issues maybe then and the rest of the identity.
Well, yeah.
And I don't know. It just doesn't seem like they're going to make a big deal out of this, or they did make a big deal out of this when it probably really was going to affect like three people. And if they didn't say anything, you know, most of the kids at prom aren't going to notice.
Oh, exactly.
Whoever's wearing what.
Yeah. It's one of those things that there would be like maybe five people who would show up wearing something,
right.
They would there would be a group of kids that would be sort of looking at them, being like, "What the hell is this?"
And then everyone will have a fine prom.
Yeah, and then they would ignore them. Yeah, but it's one of those things that if you make a big deal out of it, it's going to be a big deal. And if you just go, "Eh, whatever," it won't be a big deal. You move on with your day.
Discrimination is harder than just letting shit go.
It is, but what I'm saying is if you don't make a big deal out of it, and
I know that's what I'm saying, if they just were less discriminatory,
right,
you'd be fine.
Yeah, you'd save yourself a lot of stress if
right, and a lot of money too in this case.
Yeah, absolutely. Now the bathroom birther. I mentioned this earlier. Representative he's a Republican, by the way, John Kavanaugh. He apparently thinks people are incapable of selecting which bathroom they should do their business in. Now, this is not
a lot of trans issues in this episode.
This is not a trans issue, though. He's proposing making it a crime to intentionally enter a public restroom if that restroom has a designated sex and the person
is not a trans issue.
Is not legally classified on the person's birth certificate as a member of that sex.
Right. Trans issue.
It is a trans issue, but it's also a show me your birth certificate issue.
That
so
is
it's
the stupidest
thing there's more to it's not as simple. It's from Phoenix. So it's another attempt out of Arizona to say, show me your birth certificate. Oh, you don't have a birth certificate. Well, back to Mexico with you.
I fucking hate Arizona. Almost as much as Florida.
It's one of those.
They do go out of their way.
Yeah. Now it is a trans issue. The homophobic lobbyists at the Center for Arizona Policy dubbed it the bathroom bill. The organization tried to convince its followers that this would give an excuse for men to gain access to little girls in bathrooms.
Oh, my God.
It's all about protecting the children. Because most of our law and culture is set up to protect women and girls. If there's anything that's undisputed, it's the amount of protection we enjoy in our culture.
Well, we're not.
Thanks,
we're not
Arizona
yet,
state legislature.
We're not yet India, but we're working our way there. So there. So yeah, the bathroom birther wants you to show your. I don't carry my birth certificate to the bathroom normally. So
no.
I was at a coffee shop today, and I was this one like any you know there's two bathrooms, a men and a women's, and each one has one toilet in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I need to go to the bathroom, and the men's bathroom is being used, but I can't go in the women's room because there's a woman thing on
sure
it. But
you could.
I just don't know why you can't have two unisex bathrooms, unless women just don't want to use the bathroom that a man happens to use.
Well, some places do have two unisex bathrooms. It's just a matter of
I don't know why it's
then
not
they
the
both
norm.
Smell like pee.
Well, I have often used the man's single bathroom because the
Me
women's
too.
Bathroom always has a line and the
yep.
man's bathroom doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And the only difference is that the men's bathroom often has like a urinal in addition
and
to a
like
toilet
pee.
In those single in the single
right, yeah.
bathrooms. And yeah, and
smells
worse.
Like
yeah, it always smells worse. But I agree, like two unisex bathrooms, why not? And then there's less waiting. I'm with you.
There is an interesting, the birth certificate thing is interesting too, though, where you'd have some kind of interstate conflict because I read a story about a girl who, a trans male to female,
mm-hmm.
who couldn't get into Smith, which is a women's college, because they're, they get federal stuff like FAFSA and whatever federal documents they get showing her like, you know, graduation. I don't know what it was, but her home state won't change the birth certificate designation.
Right.
And so the paperwork was based on that designation. And even though if she had been from whatever state Smith is at New York, if she'd been from that state, she could have gotten something switched. It would have been fine. But she's stuck in this like infinite loop of bureaucracy that we're. She can't get changed what needs to be changed, so she can't, Smith, like, can't let her in.
Which wow. is wild, because I actually saw a documentary about a woman at Smith who transitioned to become a man before she graduated, and so she was a male going to Smith.
Mm.
see, post-gender world, like all of this stuff, we need to recalculate how we're dividing the planet, because it's just not going to work anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can go to a third. We can split it off that way. That'll work.
The Nate Darling Show.
It's a spectrum.
Cool. Or tool.
Whoa.
Right, just now?
Yeah. I know. We're running late. First up in Cooler Tool, Joe Rogan for taking a stand. Ted.
Joe Rogan, the fact that he took a stand is cool, but the way he took it was tool.
Becca.
He's entitled to his opinion, I guess, but it's a complicated issue, Joe Rogan.
That's not Cooler Tool.
I think if I can assist here, what Becca and I are probably saying is that you just can't have a binary cool or tool system to evaluate
exactly.
This. It's a spectrum.
Exactly.
Somewhere
it was
between
a,
cool and tool.
It was
is
a
where
cool
this
to
is.
Tool cool like
yeah,
C
transition.
Yeah.
I don't know where this is on the spectrum.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Wow. It's still in transition.
Women are ruining our show.
I'm
just
gonna
kidding.
Sure. I'm going to go cool because I admire anybody with the balls to take a stand on something that can get them really super criticized.
Or
something.
The vagina.
Well, balls is
no,
just an
expression.
No, then
we're back to giving people credit for having an opinion, even if that opinion may or may not be wrong. In this case, I don't know. It's not cut and dry. But
yeah, it's for expressing an opinion, even though it might not be popular. All right, up next in Cooler Tool.
Way to go, Hitler. Excellent orator. Not you. You're not Hitler.
Thanks. Muppets and Meth. Christiana, Cooler Tool.
Yeah, I don't know. Tool. Everything about that story is bad.
Becca.
Tool.
Ted.
You can't mix Muppets and meth.
Well, they did.
But you can't.
But you did.
You can, but you ought not. That's Tool.
Okay. Muppets are cool, meth is Tool. And the bathroom birther, Ted, quickly.
Oh, my fucking Tool. My
Tool.
Arizona.
Arizona's Tool.
Yeah, Tool. Sweet. Absolutely Tool. Let's rip through some things rather quickly here so we can get to the rest of our show. Rest in peace, Harry Reams, the legend from the movie Deep Throat. Deep Throat. He passed away at the age of 65.
Never heard of him.
You never heard of Harry Reams?
Linda Lovelace, really, as far as I go on Deep Throat.
Well, he was the other part of Deep Throat. There would be no Deep Throat without Harry Reams. Exactly.
The throat would still be as deep, but nothing would be testing the depths of it.
He had pancreatic cancer. He was born Herbert Streicher, and he made $250 for the porn movie. So
wow.
There you go. Popular model claims that hormonal chickens are turning children gay. It's true. Oh. While speaking to fans inside a store in Bogota, Natalia Paris, Colombia's best-known model, that's according to her website, so it must be true, she was caught on camera claiming that chickens injected with female hormones were turning children gay. The boys that are eating that kind of chicken because they're injecting female hormones are starting to turn into homosexuals.
If she said cock instead of chicken, it would have been funnier.
The controversial animal rights activist could be heard saying, so she's an animal rights activist, too, so this is kind of a thing little...
But you can use better arguments than bullshit lies.
Can you?
Tell them, Becca.
Oh, on the spot. We don't want to talk about factory farming right now. But, I mean,
no,
I
don't.
Think that it's actually true that the hormones in some of this meat are causing
children
to hit puberty sooner and
but
causing
not,
some other things, but not the gay. So she could have used the same argument with something that was true.
That's what I'm saying.
Well,
yeah. Right.
I think
they do mess up. They like theorize, isn't that like one of the reasons girls may be hitting sexual maturity sooner is because there's so much like hormone crap in the food and the water supply and everywhere else.
Yeah. Well, it could be a South American thing because 3 years ago, Bolivian President Evo Morales said the exact same thing while speaking at a climate change conference.
Evo Morales.
No, not Pedro Morales.
Oh, I was thinking
the old wrestler. No,
I like Pedro Morales.
Comunidad Homosexual Argentina president Cesar, I'm not going to pronounce his name wrong, blasted Morales' absurd assertion, adding that by following that reasoning, if we put male hormones in a chicken and we made a homosexual eat it, he would transform into heterosexual. Hey, let's try it. Let's get some male hormones into that and move on.
Testosterone chicken.
Sure. Speaking of testosterone, Rush Limbaugh had some things to say about Beyonce. Let's see if this works.
You heard about Beyonce? Have you heard what Beyonce? Beyonce. Let me give it a little.
You heard about Beyonce? Beyonce. Beyonce.
Beyonce used to be the lead for a three girl group called Destiny's Child.
Gemini Twins.
And their songs were attempts to inspire young women not to take any grief from men.
I don't want no scrubs.
Is that right, Mr. Sturdley?
No, that's TLC.
Essentially, don't take any grief. Don't let these guys walk.
Get your girl power
don't
right.
Do this, don't do that. Don't just walk away. You don't need to
or
put up with
2000.
That. She's done a 180.
Oh,
Beyonce, now having been married, having been impregnated and given birth to Blue Ivy, she going out on a new tour, and they may as well call it the Bow Down B.I.H. tour. She's got a new song. Can I say it?
Can you?
It's in the popular Bow Down Bitches. Is a new tune.
That was shocking.
A
Rush.
Total 180.
Wow. He worries about
Beyonce's now saying, "Go ahead and put up with it." And you know why? I'll tell you why.
It's not the song.
Because she
not
got married. She married the rich guy. She's even calling herself Mrs. Carter on the tour. Dawn, look at me. She has shelved Beyonce. She's no longer being called. She's going to call herself Mrs. Carter on the Bow Down Bitches tour. And that song, that's the title of the single that's fronting the tour. And the advice is to these women, go ahead and put up with it.
Is that really
I
what
I don't even
song's
understand
about?
Why he. It's not, but I don't understand why.
He's very upset about it.
Why he has a show? Why he exists?
Because he has millions of listeners.
It's not. Yeah, that's not what the song's about.
Each
the song's about, like.
Stupider than the last.
Look out. It's like, it's Bow Down Bitches. That's what the song's about. It's not Bow Down to a man. It's Bow Down to me.
Yeah.
From Beyonce's perspective.
That's what I would figure to me.
Hold on. You're saying Rush Limbaugh does not understand Beyonce's music.
Yeah. Or he's probably assuming his listeners aren't really going to follow up with that.
Of course not.
You know what, though? I don't want to. Now, he's dumb.
Right.
But I did watch the Beyonce documentary that was on HBO.
Uh-huh.
And there was a clip from, I don't know if it was from their wedding or honeymoon or her, like his birthday party or something, Jay-Z's birthday. And she was making this toast, like really heartfelt and like tearing up about it. And they got together when she was pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
When they got together, she was like 20 or like 19 or something. I mean, they knew each other for a long time. And part of her speech was like that he taught her like how to be a woman.
Yeah, he did.
And stuff. Yeah, and I was just like, that, I'm uncomfortable at this point in the conversation. Because a lot of what she was saying was just a lot of instruction and uncomfortable things that triggered uncomfortable power dynamic feelings in me.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's what Rush should have freaked out about. If he wanted to freak out on that narrative, there was the material for it, not that song.
Well, I don't think he actually listened to the song.
I don't think he cares.
I think he looked at the title. I think so. He's got to fill 3 hours a day.
He's just hoping people will go to leap like Beyonce, friends with Obama. Obama's bad. Yeah, I hate Obama. Thank God Rush is on talking about how I hate.
And there was a lot. They just released, the FCC just released a bunch of the letters from people who wrote in to complain about Beyonce's performance at halftime. And talking about, we'll read those on a future show, but there's a lot of really upset people who had obviously no understanding of what Beyonce did. So
they were all from Florida.
My guess is that was his quote-unquote peg for talking about Beyonce. It wasn't just, oh, I think I'll talk about Beyonce today. So it's just very odd.
I bet he has a secret crush on her.
Oh, of course. He's Rush Limbaugh. Mad Men's coming back soon, and its star,
yay,
John Hamm, is causing a big stir on the set with his distracting anatomy. Mm-hmm.
Are you hot, sweetheart? My girlfriend's fanning herself.
Suddenly got warm in here. Woo.
He has been at the center of a few awkward wardrobe moments on set. He plays Don Draper, and is he's said to cause quite a stir amongst staff with his rather impressive anatomy. The New York Daily News, your source for important news, reports that the filming of the sixth season of the show, Hamm was politely instructed by a staffer at the AMC Network to police the... Oh, my God. They have a staffer from AMC to police them. To please wear underwear while shooting scenes.
I think his anatomy has its own Tumblr now.
Yeah, because there's so many pictures over the years of him.
Some of them just
around.
Look like awkward shadows.
Yeah.
But also, why is he... Does he not wear underwear?
I
it seems
think
like the
regular...
only physically way that could happen is if you weren't wearing anything at all to...
Yeah, I think he does not generally in his life, and he's photographed so often
Commando.
That there's a fair amount of pictures where it's just an awkward
It just seems to be chilling.
The source added, the season takes place in the 60s where pants are very tight and leave little to the imagination. John's impressive anatomy is so distracting that they politely insisted on underwear.
Well, if you ever want to know... If you ever ask him how's it hanging, you know it's to the right.
His privates are an inside joke, the source added. Ham knows what he's got. Well, no kidding. Really?
He probably does, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty aware of the size of my cock. Thanks. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for pointing that out. I've been hauling around for a while now. It's
But it doesn't have a tumbler yet.
No. Mine, no, not yet. I'm hoping.
That's the big announcement in our third hour.
Everyone was concerned about too much Christina Hendricks boob, but it's John that has the most to show. It's a good problem to have.
No, nothing beats her boobs.
They don't, you know.
Maybe. No, they are impressive.
Are amazing.
Yeah, she's amazing. She is like number one woman on my island.
How she doesn't tip over, I have no idea. I really don't.
Hourglass. She's weighted in all the right places.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. From large penis to small penis, this comes to us from Taiwan. According to Apple Daily, a 52-year-old Taiwanese woman was recently granted divorce from her 55-year-old husband of 4 years. 4 years. Because his penis, which reportedly measured 5 centimeters, was too small. It wasn't until their wedding night that the woman learned of the issue. He's also impotent and unable to fulfill his responsibility as a husband, she said. We quarreled the whole night and I asked him to seek treatment. The newlyweds separated the next day. 4 years? The former wife claims they were never, ever able to successfully have sex at any point during their marriage, despite several attempts. This is not the first time poor sexual performance has been the grounds for divorce. In 2008, a Russian man was divorced by his wife after his penis extension broke off during sex.
I don't know what that means, and I really don't want to.
No, either.
That's really awkward. Don't know.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, if he's impotent anyway, what matter doesn't matter if it's 5 centimeters or 5 feet.
Well,
it's too long.
Yeah, I think her whole point was he's unable to fulfill his marital obligations, the contract of marriage, so to speak.
That's right. Like the worst honeymoon ever. Can you imagine, like, all the expense and the festivity of a wedding, and then it's just like. What? We spent the whole night arguing about it, and then we separated the next day. Like, wow. Disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why you should have premarital sex, because then you know.
We all learned that from watching Sex in the City.
Sure. Yeah, if you need like a twist tie to keep a condom on, it's too small.
Well, it's not even the size. Never mind. There's music now.
Yeah, there's a reason there's music. It's time for good, bad, worse, and god awful. It's our advice to the people with you know what to do. So let's start out. Good advice for Rush Limbaugh. Ted, do you have some good advice for Rush Limbaugh?
Just shut the fuck up.
Becca, do you have some bad advice for Rush Limbaugh?
Extend your show by an hour because the world needs more of you.
Christiana, some worse advice for Rush Limbaugh?
He should probably. Have a dinner date with Jay-Z to ask him how he thinks, what he thinks about it.
And the god-awful advice I would have for Rush Limbaugh, two words, Playgirl spread.
Ew.
Yeah. Up next, John Hamm's penis. Becca, do you have some good advice for John Hamm's penis?
Well, first of all, I want to point out that Ted just called up pictures of John Hamm's penis on his phone. And so I looked over and my boyfriend was looking at pictures of it. So that was exciting.
was it? Was it like having a three-way?
Because it came when I put it, I put John Hamm's penis with no apostrophe. And then the text says, were you looking for John Hamm's penis? Like, yes, I was.
Good advice for John Hamm's penis. Have fun. Test drive one of those Bill Gates new condoms.
Christiana, some bad advice?
Keep not wearing underwear.
Mm-hmm. The worst advice I would have for John Hamm's penis, get a tan. Get a tan because some rays will only make it look better. And Ted, do you have some god-awful advice for John Hamm's penis?
I would advise John Hamm's penis to just... leave the premises and let him become a transgender UFC fighter. I don't know.
That qualifies.
Okay, good.
Class
would be in though.
Finally, the man who's getting divorced because his penis was too small. Do you have some good advice for him, Christiana?
No.
No good advice at all?
Denied. I would advise him to find a woman who's not interested in sex.
No, that shouldn't be hard. the bad advice for him, I would say get a prosthetic thing and just sort of strap it on at all times. So it'll look like you're carrying a lot, but you'll be able to go all night long, and it'll be all good. No worries. Ted, do you have worse advice for him?
Yeah, I would reiterate my transgender advice and just see if that works better for you, maybe. go the girl route, woman route. I don't know. Probably wouldn't work out.
Ted's starting to fade out. And Becca, some god-awful advice for the man with a tiny, tiny penis.
I would say find another woman, get her really emotionally attached to you, do the wedding all over again, bigger than ever, and just never... You know, never mention this again, and just see if the surprise works better the second time.
That's some really good advice.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
All right.
It's an editorial for the Free Republic.
I know. Small. We're gonna wrap the show almost on time. I thought we were gonna be much later than this, but we're not. Small town news. This time comes to us from my area, the Barton Chronicle. It's the weekly journal of Orleans County, Vermont. And they want to let you know that it's time to take down the bird feeders.
Oh.
Yeah. Vermont Fish and Wildlife Department urges people to take down their bird feeders to avoid attracting bears that are emerging from their winter dens and looking for food. It's best to remove food sources before hungry bears locate them, said Fish and Wildlife Colonel David LaCours. I didn't know they had ranks. Wow. We highly recommend taking down bird feeders and not feeding birds until December 1st. Also, don't leave pet food outside, wash down your barbecues after using them, and secure your garbage containers, he added. And above all, never purposely leave food out for bears, because feeding bears might seem kind, but it's almost a sure death sentence for them.
Wow. Oh, for the bears.
Yeah.
Oh.
Vermont law prohibits a person from killing a bear that has been attracted to any artificial bait or food, such as birdseed. The fine for doing so can be as high as $1,000. So, bears, you're on your own. Good luck finding the picnic baskets.
Wait, the fine for baiting a bear and killing it is $1,000?
Yep.
There's one in California, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would think it would be higher, but that's just me.
Oh, you think it would be higher than $1,000?
I guess so. Just why?
How much would you pay for dead bear?
How much would you pay to off a bear?
Exactly. If you really want to kill a bear, it might be worth $1,000 to you to do it.
I don't know about that.
It's not a deterrent.
You might also lose your hunting license for life, too.
Okay,
so that's a pretty big deal in Vermont.
Oh, okay.
The reason bears often eat seeds in the wild, so a bird feeder is chock full of high-energy seed, is a concentrated source of what the bear considers natural food, and they're smart. Once bears learn to obtain food around people's homes, they'll be back. If you want to learn more about black bears... just ask, or visit the Fish and Wildlife Department website at vtfishandwildlife.com and look in the library section for the Black Bear Fact Sheet. That's small town news, because what else would it be?
I bet if you looked online, you could find more information about them.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there's lots of facts about black bear. Facts about black bear.
Let's
look
all
on
go
Wikipedia.
To Black Bear Diner after this. And
ooh.
Study
yum.
Up.
I'm so hungry. Did I mention that already?
When's our travel pizza going to be here? This sucks.
Damn it. We forgot to tell ourselves to send it back in time.
I know. So that'll do it for the Friday edition of the Nate Darling Show. We'll be back again next week with another couple of shows for you. One on Wednesday and one on Friday, because that's what we do. In the meantime, I just want to say...
Happy Easter.
Happy
and
Passover. And all that. So
you'll have had your week by then.
I will have had my week by then.
Okay. Yeah, you'll get your weekend. Don't worry about it.
I'm not worried about it.
Why can't Christians get some attention in this country is all I'm saying.
I know. Yeah, I mean.
That was a non-ironic post from one of my reverend friends on Facebook this week, P.S.
Really?
Yeah, about how hard the country's going to get for Christians in the coming years. But like, buckle down and pray. And I'm going to be like, are you fucking kidding me? Well, I think you guys got it just fine.
Well, to be fair, not everybody who's Christian is Catholic. They don't have a big head.
No, he wasn't a Catholic.
Right, exactly. He didn't get a big Pope thing on TV all day for like a week looking for smoke.
That's their fault for breaking off from the church.
Yeah, exactly.
Martin Luther.
Run back to the church if you want your time. Yeah, so that'll do it for us for this week. We will see you all next week. Have a good weekend. Be safe. Watch out for flying mattresses and box springs. Idiots turning. People chatting on the silent weekends. And Tina Fey movies. Watch out for all those things. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Well, I woke up to the sound of silence that comes. We're cutting like knives in a fist fight. And I found you with a bottle of wine. Your head in the curtains and heart like the 4th of July. You swore and said, we are not shining stars. This I know, I never said we are. Though I've never been through hell like that. I've closed enough windows to know you can never look back. If you're lost and alone, or you're sinking like a stone. Carry on. May your past be the sound of your feet upon the ground. Carry on. Carry on, carry on.